In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stevens Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is Ron Sapanzik. He was Ronnie in the late 50s, early 60s band Ronnie and the Savoys. They were quite successful locally in Cleveland, Ohio, and regionally. 1959, they went to the studio and cut the tune Domino, a song written by their bass player, Steve Popovich, who later on was close friends with Stevie Van Zandt, well-known in the music industry. He helped guide the careers of artists like Cheap Trick, Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, and many others. Wicked Cool Records recently released Domino as a single, and we'll hear a bit of it now, followed by my chat with Ron on our Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage.
There was a square cat lived on my street. He was the squarest cat I ever did meet. When we'd say come on, he'd say no, no. So all us cats called him Domino. Found a girl, her name was Kitty. She was sweet and kind of pretty. She stole Dom's heart away, away. We knew Dom's love was there to stay.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and what a special Coolest Conversations we have today, because joining me is Ron Sapanzik, drummer and leader of Ronnie and the Savoys. They were active on the Cleveland rock and roll scene in the late 50s, they have our first Coolest Song in the World for 2024, the tune Domino, recorded back in 1959. Also, I should point out that playing bass in the band and singing lead vocals was Steve Popovich, one of the two greats in the music business. He worked his way up from a warehouse attendant to be the very first vice president of promotion at Columbia Records, appointed by Clive Davis, and he was instrumental in the careers of many, including Bob Dylan, Simon & Garfunkel, Johnny Cash, Janis Joplin, Santana, Meat Loaf, Bruce Springsteen, Paul Revere and the Raiders, and many others. So, to you, Ron, Happy New Year. How are you?
Thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, very cool tune. I want to ask you stuff about that in a moment. But first of all, where are you living these days?
Actually, I live, it's called Myrtle's Inlet. It's close to Myrtle Beach, a couple miles from Myrtle Beach.
Oh, so you're in South Carolina?
Yes, I am.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm originally from Atlanta. It's not so far away.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I spent time in Atlanta.
Well, how long have you been in Myrtle Beach?
I've been here about 7 years now.
And you must be enjoying it?
Yeah, it's pretty neat. But we're thinking about moving back to Ohio. I got family there and going back for the holidays to Ohio, then back into Pennsylvania and spend some time there, then come back to the beach.
Hmm. And so the family, is that, are they around Cleveland or where in Ohio?
Yeah, I have family in Cleveland. I have a son there who's a pastor. I got a grandson. All my wife's relatives are from Ohio. Then my family, of course, is from PA, around where Steve was born.
Right. So you and Steve both grew up in coal mining towns in Pennsylvania, but not the same town. So you were in Crucible and he was in Nemacolin?
Yeah, we were about 15 miles apart. Each one had his own grade school. And, of course, okay. The high school, there was one high school for us, everybody to go to.
Oh, so do you guys went to the same high school?
Well, I didn't actually go to high school. I only got as far as eighth grade, but Steve did go to high school.
And my understanding, his family had a grocery store. What did your family do?
My family was, my dad was a coal miner, which, you know, those are struggling times back in the 50s trying to make a living. So when we start playing music, it was a blessing to the family. I believe Steve's dad was a coal miner for a while also, and then he ended up, him and his brother, with a grocery store called Popovich's Market in Nemacolin.
And so you mentioned your dad being a coal miner. Did you ever have any interest working in the mines?
Oh, my dad said, I'll break both your legs, you go in the mine. he had no mercy for coal miners, for sure. It was a real struggle back in those days with coal mines.
Well, I read your mother had played piano and had actually started a band when she was a teenager with a cousin. How did that story inspire you?
Well, you know, my brother and our neighbor was walking the woods. Our nearest neighbor was like a half mile away. Mm-hmm. I think I was like 11 years old. My brother was 14 months older than me, trying to decide what we wanted to be. And we grew up, and then we all decided to become musicians, playing a band. So at that point, my brother went back. We begged my mother to get him accordion lessons in a school I was going to in fifth grade. They gave lessons in instruments, and I took up the drums, and a neighbor took up the saxophone. And that ridge, after 3 or 4 years later, we became the Polka Kings.
Okay, so but why did you settle on playing the drums?
Well, just to make a band. I guess that was the reasoning behind it. You needed a drummer, we needed an accordion, and we also needed that saxophone. So that's why we took it that way.
And your older brother's at Bernard?
Bernard or Bernard.
Bernard, okay. Well, I was seeing on the liner notes for the recordings that he was playing piano, but originally he was playing accordion in the Polka Kings.
Yeah, he played accordion. He got a B3 organ, one of the big Hammonds.
Wow.
And that really made give us the full sound that we needed back then.
Okay, so you start the Polka Kings, and you that's when you are living still in Pennsylvania?
Yes, we were living in outside of Crucible, PA. Mm-hmm. And we added a bass, a slap bass. My uncle played slap bass for us in the Polka Kings. When he got drafted into the service, and Steve was just turning 15 at that time, mm-hmm. and I heard that he played the slap bass, but he also sang in a group called the Satellites.
Okay.
And knowing that, and got introduced to him, and that's how we got Steve involved in the band at that point. And he was 15. His mother and dad had to drive him to practice.
Well, how old were you at the time?
I was just turned 16.
Oh, yeah, you were an old man.
I was the old one at that point. Our first job that we played, I was 14. You know, I was 14 years old. And we played in nightclubs where our parents had to go, and you know, because we were underage. And the same thing when Steve joined, his mom and dad used to come to all the jobs because they had to be there. So,
did you know Steve before he had joined the band?
I heard of Steve. I didn't go to high school, so I really didn't know him. But I heard about him, and I heard about the singing group, and I knew some of the guys in the group, which was kind of unique. They all had nicknames. One was named Izzy, one was named Woogie, and one was named Lappy.
Well, what was your nickname?
I was just Ronnie at that point.
Okay.
And Steve got the nickname Poppy, and I believe my mother gave him the name Poppy.
Well, speaking of your mom, you mentioned, you know, the parents driving you guys to gigs. So the parents must have been pretty supportive of you guys pursuing music.
Oh, definitely. Steve's mother, Zorro, and my mother used to dance to every polka we played, I believe. Yeah, they were proud of us. I mean, that's for sure. I remember them being as proud as could be. Until one day we was playing in a club in Bobtown, and they had a stripper come out. We played for a stripper. That kind of turned it down a little bit.
Yeah, they got a little racy there.
Well, yeah, you never got to play back in that club again, but... It was funny.
Well, that'll put some hair on a young man's chest, right?
Yeah, I've never seen one before either, so.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you were probably seeing more of her than your mom was counting on.
Yeah, especially the songs we had to play.
What did you back her with? What were you playing behind her? Do you recall?
I can't remember. It was a real sexy sax solo.
Oh, man.
It was something like Summertime or something. It was one of those songs with I think it was like Boots Randolph or somebody played.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that you guys, you get to Cleveland and you actually play on Frank Yankovic's TV show, you know, Frank being America's Polka King. You guys are the Polka Kings. So were you guys based in Cleveland when you played on that program? And if so, how did you get to Cleveland?
Well, you know, Frank Yankovic played a big part in my life and in Steve's life, of course. But back in when we were starting, I was like 11 years old, and all we had was a record player, but my mom had albums of Frank Yankovic. And every Sunday, that's all we heard was Yankovic on a radio or on records. And that's kind of what led us to polkas. And of course, as you just mentioned, he was called the Polka King, and that's how we got the name Polka King. So that was when we was in Pennsylvania, of course. And we was playing at different nightclubs, and we was playing on some different TV shows around Pittsburgh and I think out of Morgantown, and with all the DJs from the Pittsburgh area. And I got a phone call saying, asked if we wanted to be on a polka variety show. Now, I don't remember if it was Paul Wilcox who called. It could have been Walt Maskey. I don't remember the name who called us. And we said, of course, we'd play on it. So we got in a car, and they taped on Thursday nights. And Steve's uncle had a barbershop on 55th in Euclid. So we all met at the barbershop, changed clothes, went down, and we went on the Yankovic show. We played three or four songs, got to meet Frank, got to talk to him. Great guy, great personality, always open to talking to people. So that's kind of how that started. And once we played on that show, went back home, I got a call from a disc jockey out of Cleveland. His name was Paul Dean. And he was also worked with a record company out of Hollywood, California. He said, if we got two original songs, come back to Cleveland, record them, which we did. And the one side was Slapping Rods. And of course, the other side was Domino we put together. So that's how that all took place back in those days.
Oh, okay. Well, so you were still primarily a polka band when you recorded those sides?
Well, back then in PA, we had a band, this may take a few seconds to explain, but we had a polka band originally to start with. We played polkas, waltzes, and some slow songs.
Right.
Eddie Fisher songs. But when we had Steve come along, he started singing polkas in Slovenian. He knew how to sing in Croatian. We did some Louis Armstrong songs. Mm-hmm. But then we heard James Brown, Little Richard, Hank Beller and the Midnighters, Temptations, and that there drove me to go to rhythm and blues also.
Right.
So now we were a polka band. We could play rhythm and blues. We played some rock. We had it all covered, so we could play teenage dances. We played proms. We could play a polka. We could do about any kind of music that you want to hear at that point in time. So that, I think that was the key to our success in that point in time.
Okay. So if I got this straight, there was a... You guys had done the TV show there in Cleveland, and then afterwards a DJ called you up, or was it the record company that called you up and wanted you to do those two tunes?
Yes, original tunes.
The two original tunes. And so this was like 1959 when you go in the studio?
Yes, 1959.
Can I ask why did those songs not come out at the time?
Well, they were released on the West Coast.
And
involved in a record company was 35 disc jockeys from the West Coast.
Uh-huh.
And this is the way I got the whole story. And when the song was finally released in Cleveland and Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. it started to be played a lot. I mean, one disc jockey's name was Porky Chadwick in Pittsburgh, used it as his theme song. So everything was going along great. The records started moving. We started getting different job offers. We had a booking agent want to take us on tour. The whole thing was moving. Then, I don't know if you remember, in 59 and 60, Paola investigation started.
Right.
Ended up right in the middle of it. Kind of pulled the plug on our music career at that time with records.
Mm.
Although we weren't involved in it, it happened with the, I guess, the owners of the record company.
Yeah. What was the name of the label?
It was PDQ, and it was named after three of the owners. It was Paul Dean, and Quincy.
Okay.
And I believe Quincy used to sing for a group. They sang a song, Heart of My Heart. I can't remember the name of the group right now.
Mm.
But they were pretty famous back in those days.
Well, I want to talk some about Domino. I mentioned it's our coolest song in the world this week, first of 2024. Can you tell us a story about the sort of the real life events that inspired it?
Well, you know, this is kind of a sad story also. I was just looking at an article that weekend that we decided, well, not that weekend, there was a car wreck. And there was five kids killed in the car, a driver, his girlfriend, and there was two sisters in the back seat. They was pulling out from like a Dairy Queen and making a right. The car coming the opposite direction on a four-lane highway crossed over. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume he was going like 90, 100, hit him head on.
Yeah.
And he killed all five of those kids all of a sudden. And Steve knew the driver of the car. I knew him, but not as well as Steve, because he played football against him in his sophomore, maybe his freshman year. So they got killed. In that same weekend, there was two other car wrecks. There was 20-some kids that got killed that weekend.
Wow.
In car wrecks. So trying to figure out what to put on the other side of that record, but probably with Steve that come up with the idea. This is something about people getting killed in cars, and this is kind of how Domino originated. So we used to practice in a place. They call it the Goody Shop on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. And we started to write that song with Steve. And little Steve Jr. sent me actually the notes that Steve wrote in a book that he gave to his grandsons. And I got a copy or an email showing how he wrote that down word for word.
Uh-uh.
Pretty amazing.
So you recorded it. It came out on the West Coast, both sides. How did you come to release it on Wicked Cool Records now?
Well, Steve Jr. gave me a call about 2 years ago. We've been talking about doing something with it. And it came to an agreement. And I said, sure, let's do it. And that's kind of how it ended up right now, where we're at today.
Right. Well, I was looking at the listing for the rest of the band, and from my liner notes at least, I see Bernard. We mentioned your older brother; he's playing piano. Jim Sellers lead guitar, Tim Togish on sax, and this Thomas Kanchik on guitar. Were those the other guys in the band?
Yes, they were.
Yeah. Do you keep in touch with any of these gentlemen still, or?
Unfortunately, Jim Sellers passed away.
Yeah.
Jim Tokish passed away. And my brother just passed away June of this year.
Oh,
and then, of course,
right.
Steve passed away in 2011. And the other guy, I haven't been in touch with. I'm not exactly sure where he's at. Mm-hmm. I believe he's still alive.
Okay. Are there any other tracks you guys have unreleased?
You know what? I do have four other songs that Steve sang lead on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly sure where that's going to go, but there was one song called Mama Lucci by Lee Diamond. In every place we played, we'd play that song at least three times a night. So it was a real popular song back in the 50s. And Steve did a great job on that also.
Well, my understanding is that you guys were still gigging out until around about 1963. Is that correct?
65.
Okay.
1965 is when Steve left, but my brother moved back to Pennsylvania. I still played I had bands up until, let's see, 1977, I believe, until I had to move with my job to Virginia. So when I left, the band continued playing. Is Ronnie and Savoy's, and I'm not exactly sure how long they played, but that's the last time I played was 77. I used to go sit in with my brothers in PA every once in a while. They had a band back there, but Not after 77, not much music in my life. Although I did hear from Steve every month, just about we'd talk at least once a month.
We're talking about Steve Popovich here, senior.
Yeah, Steve Senior. Yeah, I used to live in Virginia, and I believe he used to come up to, in fact, I know he did, to Duke Hospital once a year, him and a couple of other guys. I'm pretty sure I know who the other guys are, but they used to go on a rice diet up there 2 weeks out of the year, and every time he'd come up, we'd spend some time together.
A rice diet?
I'm not exactly sure what it does to your body, but I used to come up there and do it.
We're going to take a listen to the B-side, Slapping Rods and Leaky Oil, in a moment. Features your brother there in piano. How did that tune come together?
You know, we had that song. We played it at nightclub. I don't know if you remember Dwayne Eddy back.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to say it's got a Dwayne Eddy vibe to me. And was that any sort of influence?
Yeah, the guitar player we had, he was pretty good at that time, Jim. He was like 8 years older than us, but the guy could play a guitar. Yeah. And that's kind of how that song originated. And we recorded that at Cleveland Recording in Cleveland. And a guy named Vlad Matiker, if I'm saying his name right, he really helped us get through that song and showed us some riffs and stuff, how to make it different from other songs. So that was a great day for us.
Yeah. Well, I love the title, too, The Slapping Rods, Leaky Oil. Who came up with the title?
Gee, yeah, that was a good question. You know, we used to call it No Name, because somewhere between Pennsylvania and Cleveland, or at the studio, the name came up, Slapping Rods and Leaky Oil, about hot rods, of course.
Right, right.
That was the idea behind it.
Well, you weren't having trouble getting to the gig in the car, though, to the recording session.
Oh, no, we did okay. My first car was a 1932 Ford with a rumple seat, if you can remember that.
Oh, wow, way cool. But was that a hot rod? Did you soup it up at all?
Oh, yeah, a 1948 Mercury flathead engine in it.
Wow, way cool, way cool.
Yeah, that was a good car. Sorry I ever sold that.
Man. Let's see, Ronnie, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
I appreciate the call, and good luck to everybody out there.
Right. Well, we're going to give y'all's B-side a listen now. It's Ronnie and the Savoys, Slapping Rods and Leaky Oil, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Slapping Rods and Leaky Oil. That's Ronnie and the Savoys here in Little Steven's Underground Garage, B-side to their single on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's namesake, Ron Sapancic, for speaking with me today. Thanks as well to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. The Blips are a supergroup on the Birmingham, Alabama music scene, and they've got a new album out now on Cornelius Chapel Records titled Again. And I'll be talking with their band member Taylor Hollingsworth all about it next time around on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.